Everybody's favorite point spread expert with us now. Todd, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot, boys. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing well. Saw a bunch of big college football point spreads came from a site yesterday. And so we had some fun with that. And I noticed that Tennessee is only an underdog in two games, according to these guys. One at Georgia, a one-point underdog there, and by three against Alabama, a three-point underdog against Alabama in Knoxville. So what that leads me to ask you, I mean, if they truly are favored in 10 of 12 at this point, what is the over under win total for Tennessee? Do you go 8.5 or do you go 9.5?
No, their number is going to be right in that 9.5-10 range, depending on who you talk to. I think 10 probably a bit of a leap of faith, but they project out to about a 10-2 football team if things break the right way. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they end up closing a short favorite for that first Saturday in Athens against Georgia. I think the trickier game for them would be the following week, October 8th, when they go to Texas A&M, sandwiched between Georgia and Alabama. So I think they could start the season 5-0. I know that is a leap of faith, sneaky game against Virginia Tech early, and we know the hex that Florida's had. But don't be surprised if they slip up against A&M and then show all their mettle in that home game against Alabama before the bye week.
Yeah, and they've got that A&M game listed Tennessee by 4.5. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. But I want to get your take on two specific Tennessee games. The battle at Bristol, Tennessee by 11. What do you think about that line? And then 12.5, I don't even know what to do with against Florida.
I think when you look at the game against Virginia Tech, you're getting a Justin Fuente-led team early in the season, right when you want them. I think Tennessee, too many returning starters. Now, unless they get caught up in the pageantry and everything else around the whole atmosphere, I think Tennessee, just too much firepower on both sides of the ball. They should be able to cover that number. Florida remains the real wild card. I think we'll get a much better indication of what this Gators team looked like based on quarterback play. The thing that works against Tennessee is you get Florida early in the year. I think the Gators will wear down because I question a lot of their depth, especially on the defensive side. But early in the season, they should be healthy. And that looks like a big price tag for a team they haven't beaten in what feels like an eternity.
Yeah, that was my point. There's no way that line goes off at 12.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that number, it's so much is going to depend on what we see early in the season. I mean, if Tennessee comes out and buries App State in their opener, boat races Virginia Tech, and, you know, they might be a little bit sleepy against Ohio and Florida struggles to score points, I think the Gators are going to be much improved on the offensive side of the ball. Hell, it's hard for them to be worse than the way they limped to the finish a year ago. But it'll be very interesting to see how Tennessee's offense matches up with Florida's defense.
Todd Furman, it's never too early to start talking football, especially in, what is it, July 6th? Yeah, good time to do that.
You know what, I look at it, guys, as soon as you get to the 4th of July, that's the unofficial midpoint of summer. Therefore, it's college football season moving forward. I got about six college football annuals, and you name it, in front of me, trying to pare down my power ratings to be ready for that opening weekend.
I love it. And for those that don't know, Todd was the point spread guy at Caesars a while back now. Doing bigger and better things. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman, toddstake.com, the website.
Well, Todd, as a prop bet, if you were ranking, I guess, the top four or five conferences, where would they rank if you're talking about football, college football?
Oh, for me, it's still, and I know being a Midwesterner, I'm supposed to have a special place in my heart for the Big Ten. Top to bottom, it's the SEC. I mean, you look at the SEC West and how rigorous it'll be for those teams to try and represent the represent their side in the conference championship. And the East continues to raise the bar there. I think we're going to see a much improved Missouri side. I think Kentucky's better. Vanderbilt, South Carolina still in a rebuilding period. And we know Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia will be there. So top to bottom, week in, week out, the SEC is first. I think the Pac-12 is actually second, although they may have a bit of a down year. And the Big Ten, you know, after you get through Michigan and Ohio State at the top, I'm real reluctant to buy into Iowa as the third best team in the conference, only because we've seen them against bigger, badder opponents, and Stanford really made a statement last year, silencing any detractors.
Careful, that's Blaine's team, Iowa.
Yeah, right. What about Michigan State and Penn State?
You know what? Penn State still has some ways to go. I think James Franklin was dealt a bit of a tough hand. We saw that offense regress a bit. Some major question marks this year on both sides of the ball. Michigan State's a team I'm interested to see moving forward, how they're able to compete. Michigan getting all the fanfare. Michigan State can kind of take the us against the world mentality. I don't think we see a drop-off in talent this year or the next year, but when we're having this discussion 5 years from now, I don't think Michigan State's going to be able to compete with the big boys in the conference.
All right, well, we're talking about SEC now, and I want to know who's going to win the SEC championship game.
Well, for me, when I look at the conference and the West, I know everybody wants to talk about Alabama being absolutely loaded at key positions. their schedule for me becomes a real problem. I'm not sure when you look at their road games at Ole Miss, at Arkansas, at Tennessee, at LSU, that's going to allow them to go through the regular season with just one loss. LSU gets any semblance of quarterback play. They're my pick to come out of the SEC West. The team that I'm interested to watch, guys, is actually A&M. If they get some quarterback play, I know they've underachieved the last few years. I think them or Auburn can be a real thorn in team size. And I think I'm going to finally drink the Tennessee Kool-Aid and call the Vols the best team in the East. I just don't believe Georgia's going to have enough quarterback play and a bit of a transitional season under Kirby Smart. And I think Florida probably a year away from contending for the division title again.
Well, last prop bet, Wimbledon, men's and women's. Who wins?
It's hard not to like what we saw from Roger Federer today, racing that two-set deficit. He is only a short favorite, though, against Milos Raonic in the semifinals, about $1.70 there. Andy Murray, an overwhelming favorite against Tomas Berdych, and you have to like his form. I know the sentimental pick will be Federer. I'm just not sure he's going to have enough left in the tank. I'll take Andy Murray to win Wimbledon in a draw that's wide open without Joker. And then on the women's side, Serena Williams, guys, if you think she wins her semifinal match, you have to put up $10 to make a dollar. And the other side, Venus has her hands full with Angelique Kerber. I think Serena breaks that majors donut that she has so far this season. I think it's Serena on the women's side and Murray on the men's side. A little bit of chalk there to get you through the weekend.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com, the website.
Todd, how's your 90s comedy sitcom bracket going?
It's moving along just the way we anticipated. It's been a very favorite-driven outcome thus far. I mean, Seinfeld put Fresh Prince of Bel-Air right in its place, and today we have probably the closest matchup we've seen, Mickey. The Simpsons with a slight edge over Home Improvement, still about 12 to 14 hours of voting left to go. I'm waiting for that big surprising upset, and maybe it's Friends that goes down in that 2-7 matchup tomorrow.
So where can people go and participate in this monstrosity of fun?
They can look at the whole bracket and results on toddstake.com, but each and every day moving forward until we declare a winner, they can vote on my Twitter timeline. Follow me at Todd Furman there if you want to try and get your 2 cents heard.
All right, Golden State's odds with Durant went from 3-2 to 4-5. Then the Thunder basically went from 8-1 to 30-1. How about the Grizz re-signing Mike Conley? How do the Grizz look?
The Grizz are actually a favorite to go into franchise bankruptcy before they are to try and win an NBA championship. No, you look at the Grizz, and while they re-signed some of their key contributors, I mean, this is a team who's still a bit of a long shot, to say the least, to win the NBA title. If you believe in Cinderella stories, Memphis will get you 100-1 right now. Teams in that same price range, the Bulls and the Rockets. You mentioned the Warriors, though, Mickey, going to 4-5. They've actually gone further. They're now 2-3 favorites.
Wow.
And you can get everybody else in the NBA at plus money. So a little bit of uncharted territory. I think Golden State's going to find it difficult to win as many games as they did last year. Their win total set at 66.5 right now. Been some sharp money on the under. And if you believe they can break the Warriors' regular season record from a season ago, that'll pay you about 4-1.
How much do you think the Weber for PK Subban trade will have an effect on Nashville? I'm asking you from a Vegas standpoint, wins and losses, and then just as I know you're a hockey fan standpoint.
Yeah, I think they were really, you know, like pieces. And when you look at it, I really believe Nashville benefits in the long term getting a younger PK Subban. I think Montreal wanted Shea Weber there as a veteran presence in their locker room. This is a team under a ton of pressure. They were lucky that Michelle Therrien wasn't fired a season ago, and now they'll get a healthy Carey Price back. So I think long term it sets up well for Nashville, who's not built to win a cup next year, and really no impact on overall Stanley Cup odds. The team that's seen a modest movement, you saw the Devils go from 100-1 down to 80-1 after the big acquisition of Taylor Hall. And aside from that, not a whole heck of a lot anywhere else on the future board. The surprising team, though, that's trended downward, and I can't quite figure out why, the Edmonton Oilers from 50-1 down to 20. But until I see the Oilers actually compete in the Western Conference, I'm not buying them as a viable Stanley Cup threat.
Good stuff, Todd.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right, add Todd Furman, toddstake.com. Sorry.